Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Eric Mettemeyer, who is the CEO of Store Financial. Eric, thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me.
So just a little context setting, Store Financial is a really interesting innovator on the corporate payments side of the house with the private label business, among other things, that is reinventing how payers and suppliers interact. So let's talk a little bit about that. Let's start with something that no one really likes to talk about, and that's the cost of payments. And that's certainly something that a lot of organizations have a keen eye toward and think a lot about. So from where you sit and the market that you serve, what are some of the biggest misperceptions about what it costs to enable payments with respect to commercial cards?
Sure. Well, if I start with the payer side, and you wouldn't normally start there, but even the payer organizations have some concerns about the cost. One of the misperceptions is that there's a significant IT effort on their behalf to implement virtual card payments to optimize supplier payments. And the reality is that a virtual card functions a lot like a check from an AP system standpoint. And so you can leverage those processes that are in place within the system. So there's not a significant IT effort. The second misperception is a belief that there's a fair bit of heavy lifting that's required of the accounts payable department and the procurement department, if not the broader organization. But the reality is that many vCard programs today come with supplier enrollment campaigns. Some also come along with ongoing supplier support. And so the effort by the broader organization is fairly limited. And then I guess the last piece is even the payers themselves, the buyer organizations, have a misperception that suppliers won't take cards or that they're too costly. And the reality is that suppliers, they do accept cards. Now, what we've experienced with the buyer organizations that we've worked with and call on is they've been through a past campaign around a P-card, and the results of that campaign failed to impress. And part of the problem is that the P-card is simply the wrong product for supplier payments. It has a place in an organization, but a P-card compared to a V-card has much lower security in terms of unauthorized charges on the card. It's got the highest acceptance cost of any card in the market. And it generally comes with a one-off reconciliation process for the accounts payable organization. So their experience with P-card initiatives was not necessarily positive. And so they're hesitant to talk about V-card programs and not understanding the difference there. But the reality is that V-cards are different and that tools exist to decrease the cost of acceptance to the supplier. And what's important is that a buyer organization choose a V-card program that includes those tools.
So who do you have to spend most of your time convincing on the buyer's side within the organization? Who decides to do this?
It's generally a combination of the CFO office or the accounts payable department specifically and the procurement team. And, you know, another thing that we noticed in past P-card initiatives that those were pushed through the procurement departments. And the procurement teams have a lot of pride in how much they extract out of their suppliers, and to ask them to then go back and place a potentially costly card program into the middle of that met with a lot of internal resistance. And so we found it's much better to drive these programs through the accounts payable process and take procurement a little bit out of the process and not make it a burden for them, and to allow Treasury to conduct more of the negotiation with the supplier in terms of offering them lower cost B2B virtual cards as opposed to the more costly P cards, to give them faster payment options and to work out something that makes sense for both sides.
So it sounds like there is a lot of merit to considering V cards in the B2B space, except that paper checks still dominate. Why is that?
Well, I think the biggest reason is that the big banks are impeding progress on that front. They provide a lot of credit funding to organizations, and they attach strings to those credit lines, which typically require or ask that the buyer organization exclusively use that bank for all of their treasury management services. And the reality of the business models of the large banks is that they rely on slowness. They rely on float and snail mail and lockbox revenues, and they love checks and fees. Now, they do within their treasury management services offer e-payment options, but I find them to be low value add. If I think about an ACH, a world where I've had a lot of experience, it's not a very value added e-payment option. It's not real time. It generally requires 48 hours for full settlement. It doesn't process on the weekends. It requires you to get the bank account information of the party you're paying. And it's a relatively dumb payment. It doesn't have a lot of room for remittance detail. And so I don't think an ACH is very well designed to drive true conversion from check, because it's an arduous process to go out and maintain bank account information on all of your suppliers. And it doesn't provide the type of remittance that you can send along with a check. So it's not a very good option. And then the second big e-payment program that these treasury management services have are P-card programs, which I, as I described before, are not the right program for supplier payments. We are seeing the banks roll out their own V-card programs, and they are getting better. And so there is some adoption happening, but it's going at their pace. It's going slowly. And so I think that's the biggest impediment to the conversion, is simply the business model of the bank partners of these buyer organizations.
Interesting. So how do you break through? That's a pretty tough barrier to overcome, especially when, as you pointed out, that requirement is tied to a very important line of credit, which, you know, businesses need for working capital and other reasons.
Well, you know, I think you have to educate the CFO office and the buyer organization that that's not something that they should agree to. You need to continue to demonstrate that your program, a non-bank program, is going to provide a lot more conversion of spend. And if they want to derive the benefits from that, they're going to have to make decisions in that area. In some cases, it's a matter of waiting out that exclusivity. In other cases, it's a matter of a negotiation with the bank partner. Not all buyer organizations certainly have agreed to those strings, but you know, I think it's just it's time, it's education, it's more people hearing about the benefits of these programs that will over time cause them not to agree to lock themselves in.
Interesting. So how do you see the space evolving over the coming year? It seems to me that there's been a lot more about alternatives to existing methods of payment between businesses has really come to the forefront. Do you think 2015 is a year where you'll see a lot more progress on the education side being made, therefore a lot more progress on the adoption side for things like this?
Sure. Yeah, I think that will be the case. Every few months that goes by, our need to educate the supplier or the buyer gets a little bit easier because these things are working their way into the marketplace. I think despite the efforts of the banks to slow the process, that non-bank supplier payment programs will make progress, because in the end, innovation will have its share of wins. And adding more value to the payment, making that payment smarter, and adding more information to it, it's going to have its share of wins. Banks themselves will drive their own adoption of the V-card payments. I've noticed the trend of them outsourcing components of their V-card programs to improve them, which is, I think, a good sign. They're outsourcing the supplier enrollment campaign side of the program. I've seen them outsource some of the B2B acquiring. One of the bigger challenges on the supplier side is that they tend to use a retail credit card terminal to process B2B payments, which is going to give them the highest cost.
Right.
And so if you can go in and give them what I'll call a B2B acquiring account, virtual account, there are multiple tools that can be used to get those costs down. And I've seen issuing banks utilize other companies who are experts in that area to help increase the amount of flow that's taking place through these V-card programs.
So tell us a little bit about how you at Store Financial are going to be helping this process accelerate? What are you up to in 2015?
Well, it's really just the same things we were working on in 2014 and probably the same things we'll be doing in 2016. And that is continuing to find ways to increase the value for both sides, but in particular the supplier, and innovative ways to provide more visibility to the cost of payments, getting those costs down, adding more remittance value, and improving the reconciliation process, really taking friction out. I've seen some neat things in the industry where companies are focusing on acquiring solely these virtual cards for B2B purposes, and the tools that they're building to help automate process on behalf of the supplier are commendable. And so we'll take a cue from that and add that to our program. And so really just continuing to innovate and improve the process is where we're going to focus. And we're seeing results across the industry. As these innovations and improvements happen, there's more and more flow.
Eric, do suppliers have any power in moving buyers to considering the kinds of solutions that you described? So on the retail side of payments, merchants do have a lot of power because they control the point-of-sale environment. Does that analog hold fast on the commercial side of payments?
That is a great question. Yes, I believe they do. I think the challenge they have is they're unaware of the fact that there are these tools in the marketplace. And so they're unaware of the fact there are lower cost cards. And when they are approached by the buyer, they should demand lower cost options if they feel that's warranted because of the size of the flow of their payments. So I think that education will continue to increase and you'll start to see some of that.
Interesting. Yeah, I think suppliers, of course, just want to be paid. And so often they probably don't feel that they have the ability to suggest an alternative, but it sounds like from what you're saying, they just don't know that there are other options to suggest.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if their average payment size is relatively small, they wouldn't have as much ability to negotiate there, but if you're paying them millions of dollars a year, they certainly have that position, and what they're asking for is not unreasonable.
So final question, and looking ahead, we're just getting started 2015, although it feels like we've been at the year for a long time already. This year has gone very fast. As you look out for the 10 months that remain, what do you think is going to play out in the B2B space?
I think there will just be significant additional innovation. People recognize the challenges with all forms of payment, whether they're V-cards or ACH or wire or check, and the immense amount of friction in the space leads to opportunity to drive improvements and to make a business. So I think we'll continue to see innovations in the space, and both buyers and suppliers are going to benefit from that.
Eric, does the same-day ACH proposal, if that is something that moves forward, is that a threat to what you do?
No, and I think it certainly improves an element or a component of the ACH. There's a lot there that it still doesn't address. In some instances, ACH is the right solution. And it's not to say that a V card is the right solution every time. And it's a matter of fitting it into the portfolio of payments. An organization, buyer organization, should have available to itself all tools and all options and use the ones that provide the most value in each particular situation. So I think that ACH will improve over time. I think B cards will improve over time, and we'll all continue to have our role within the ecosystem.
Well, that's a great way to end the chat. Thanks, Eric, for giving us the benefit of your perspective on B cards and commercial payments more broadly and the portfolio of payment options that will certainly evolve and innovate over the year. Thanks again.
You're welcome, and I appreciate your interest.